This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Peace, blessings, and mercy upon you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I've recently been asked a very profound question by accidental Muslims as to what my favorite verse is within the Holy Quran. Now, in order for me to answer this question and for you to understand my answer, I think it's important for you to know a little bit more about me as to where I come from. I was born and raised in a Christian family, and my father was a pastor, and for a very long time in my life, I was dedicated to following his footsteps. But in 2013, I was introduced to the Holy Quran, and I started studying this revelation. And I eventually embraced Islam within my life. And I accepted that there's only one true Almighty God, that He is not begotten, nor does He beget, and that there's nothing like unto Him. And I accepted that Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is His messenger. Now, the question that I'd been asked as to what my favorite verse is within the Holy Quran touches upon a subject within Christianity that is at the very core of its foundation regarding the concept of salvation. Now, in the Christian concept, it's believed that the only means of salvation is through the blood of Christ. And this is due to a decree that was written by Paulus in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22, where he says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And this was used as a means of justification as to why Christ had to be crucified and why his blood had to be spilled for the salvation of his people. However, in the Holy Quran, there's a beautiful verse, and this is my favorite verse. In the Holy Quran, in chapter 39, verse 53, God writes the following, and he says that, O my servants who've transgressed against themselves by sinning, do not despair for the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, He is most merciful and most forgiving. Now, what this means is that no matter how much sin you've accumulated throughout your entire life, might it even be the weight of a mountain, if you sincerely repent unto God and you are His servant in submission and you seek to do justice and righteousness, that He will wipe your slate clean, that He will forgive you of your sins for as long as it's within your heart in sincerity. So this is an opposition of the Christian concept that you can only gain salvation through the blood of Christ. However, through my theological study of the Holy Quran, the Torah, and the Gospels, I found that I could no longer hold on to the Christian concept, because as soon as I started studying these revelations in comparison, I found that the Christian concept is actually based upon a fallacy. I will give you a couple of examples. I know that it is a rather sensitive topic. But in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 11 to 20, we find the following verse where God speaks and He says that, the multitude of your sacrifices that you bring in front of me, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls, rams, and goats. When you come to appear here before me, who's asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle this matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they will be as wool. Now, what this revelation teaches is that salvation is not exclusive to bloodshed. First, we find that God says that the insincerity in your sacrifices, I don't need anything of this. All I seek for you to do is to submit unto me like a servant, to seek justice, to defend the oppressed, to take up the cause of the fatherless, to plead the case of the widow, and I will forgive you of your sins. Now, if you look at the Leviticus law regarding sacrifice, there's not a single verse in Leviticus that says that the only way for you to gain salvation is through bloodshed. Nor is there a single verse in the Gospel which declares this. It is irrelevant within the Old Testament and in the Gospel. And to give you another example, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 20 to 21, it says the following, the son will not share the sin of the parent, nor will the parent share in the sin of the son. The wicked of the wicked will be charged against them. The righteousness of the righteous will be credited towards them. But if the person that is in wickedness turns away from the sins that they have committed and they follow my laws and decrees, that person will surely live and they will not die, meaning that they will inherit eternal life. Now, there's no mention of blood sacrifice or anything here. And if you want to seek more references, for instance, in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 3, in Isaiah chapter 6, it says exactly the same thing, that God does not seek these sacrifices. All he truly seeks is that you turn to him in submission and that he will forgive you for your sins if you turn towards him. Now, you might be saying that, okay, I do understand this from a theological perspective within the Torah, but what does the New Testament have to say? If we look at the message of Jesus Christ, and if you choose to follow in his footsteps, I truly pray that you follow him sincerely. Because what he says is that in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, he declares as to what his mission is. And he says that, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call to the righteous, but I came to call the wicked to repentance. Meaning that he came to call the people that are in wickedness, that are not following the laws and decrees of God. He came to call them to repentance, to God. Nowhere in this verse does he reference that you first need to have a blood sacrifice. Nowhere does he reference that I first need to die upon a cross in order for you to gain salvation. He says that repent unto God for salvation. And whenever he taught as to how to pray unto God and how to seek this salvation and this repentance, he said that our Father that's in heaven, forgive us of our sins and have us forgive those who have transgressed against us so that we might gain your forgiveness. Now, this is the fatherly prayer that he had taught. This is often repeated within the churches, and yet people do not realize what they are saying because there's no blood, as it is within the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11 to 20, in Proverbs, in Hosea, in Ezekiel. Nowhere is there reference to any blood sacrifice. Nowhere does it say that in order for you to gain salvation, you first need to shed blood, like Paulus had said much, much later. To give you another example within the New Testament, where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, speaks. In the book of Luke, chapter 19, Jesus Christ is approached by a very wealthy man, and this man asked him that, listen, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus Christ told him that if you want to enter into life, of all the wealth that you have attained from the people and of that you stole from them, give it back to them. And this man actually paid the wealth back to the people that he stole from. And he paid four times as much back to those that he took from unjustly. And therefore he paid that money back to them. And Jesus Christ, peace and blessings be upon him, he said upon his very own lips, he said that salvation will come to this house. Because what this man had done is that he realized that he did an unjustification and that he wanted to do justice. And he paid back the wealth to the poor, to the needy, and to possibly the people that do not have that sustenance within their lives. So he did a righteous act. And upon the lips of Jesus Christ, he said that salvation will come to this house. And there's no mention of blood sacrifice. Nowhere does Jesus Christ, peace and blessings be upon him, nowhere does he say that you first need to sacrifice blood in order for you to gain forgiveness of your sin. Nor does he say that I first need to die upon a cross in order for you to gain forgiveness of your sin. Right there and then, that through his righteous act, that Jesus, peace be upon him, say that you will gain forgiveness for your sins. Now, what is important to realize is that the decree that Paulus had declared in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, is but only to justify why Jesus Christ had to die upon the cross for the salvation of sins. Because without this decree, anybody can turn towards God and repent unto him. And think about this logically. If you are born within this life and you've never met anyone that is in Christianity, and you surrender unto God and you believe that there's a higher power, and you cry out sincerely within your heart that this God would forgive you of your sins that you've committed, then surely he would give you forgiveness. Because that is what the Torah, the Gospels, and the Holy Quran says, that you can turn to God directly, that you don't need this third party or this decree that was written by a man in order to gain salvation, that we can just submit, and in sincerity that we will gain forgiveness. For God is most merciful and most forgiving. Now, if you read the Quran, there are many such references where God says that if you turn towards me in sincere repentance, that I will forgive you. That if you seek me, that I will be there for you. If you call upon me, I will answer you. So let us turn back to this Almighty Creator and let us seek sincere repentance and let us grow in righteousness to be closer to him. Now, I would like to make a personal request that if you enjoy videos like this regarding comparative religion, regarding discussing the Torah, the Gospels, and the Holy Quran, and you want to bring this into your means of discussing with people and knowing, you know, the revelations as to what they speak about on specific topics, then please do follow my page on Facebook and also on Instagram. And if you enjoy the work that we are doing as an IERA, I truly thank you for all the support that you are giving us and for following our pages on the prophetic mission, also for subscribing to our YouTube channel, and also for all the donations that you guys are supporting us with. Because without the community and without people like you that are watching this video, that are sharing this video, the work that we do is not possible. Because truly, as a community within Islam and as humanity itself, we need to uplift each other. We need to find ways of positive dialogue to educate each other as to how to get closer to our Creator. And truly, our purpose is to share Islam with a broader community. So to you out there that is watching this video, I just want to say thank you so much. And may Allah bless you, you and your family. May the Almighty Creator be with you. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mm-hmm.